I had a thought. I don't want to lose it. Okay. Would you, this sounds so carnal. Would you think that, okay, I'm not going to lie. There has been times where I needed money. And so I was like, all right, well, I have $100. Let me just give the whole thing because God is going to bless me, right? So in the past, I'd be like, this is years ago. I'll just put that out there. But like, I'd be like, man, like I really got to pay my bills. I know that the Bible says that God will bless me. I can't outgive God. And like, I'll give like $100. And I know like the bill comes, don't got the money. Nothing ever happens afterwards. And I'm like, is that God punishing me? Or like, was that me being wrong in my spirit? And so it's like, okay, I'm not going to bless you for that.
I have never been asked that question. It's just okay. So let's unpack that. I would say at best, you were sincerely wrong. not with guile. I would say that is a young man that's trying to figure out this game, right? And okay, hey, the preacher said it. Let's do it.
Kind of like. I guess the way that I looked at it was like, okay, if I put in like this token, I should get this return.
So almost like God is like
a gumball machine.
Yeah, he's like Vegas.
Yeah,
like give it, and that's kind of the televangelist prosperity doctrine.
Yeah,
give $100 and bless God if you'll sow a seed right now.
Yeah,
$100 and you're expecting a Cadillac tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. I don't think that's the right slogan. I think there's flesh in there, right? I will not deny some of, we preach it because we do have the story of the widow that gave to the prophet, right? We have those. And the reality is I could point to places where I gave a gift of faith and God met the need. So it's not the same as building a golden calf.
Okay.
I wouldn't equate that. I would say that maybe that's misunderstanding of how favor flows, figuring it out, learning from it. And obviously you're sitting here now going, no, that wasn't the right thing. But I don't think there was a lightning bolt from heaven about to explode on you like Ananias and Sapphira or something.
I don't know if this is totally off topic, but this is something I've always wanted to ask. Say and
you, so you're just gonna ask a total stranger that you just
yeah. Well, I feel like maybe you could possibly answer it, and I feel like you've had the same.
Yeah,
question.
I'm waiting for the theologian to weigh in on this. No, Apostle Jonathan.
No, for real. I think we've had this conversation before. Say, okay, I have my savings account, my checking account, and there's been times where I have a little bit in my savings, and then they do one of those services where like, oh, we're raising for to build a church in India or something like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I have money in my savings account. And there's times where even it won't even be that service. I'll feel guilty for having saved something in my bank account. And I feel like there's been times where I literally feel like God's like, empty it. And I'm like, okay, you're going to need to tell me that with an audible voice because I'm about to go broke and you're going to have to come through. And there's been, okay, I'm not going to lie, there's been times where I've just emptied it. And then I feel like I've been kind of not like abandoned, but I'm like, okay, it's just coming in the form of food or something, but I need something.
I didn't get killed in a car.
Yeah, so like, how do you, why not?
It's a great question because we do have scriptures where it's very plain. You're gonna give sacrificially, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible talks about Israel when there came a point they're taking earrings off, they're taking bracelets off to build the house of God. But even in that point, it was as the heart is willing. So giving, like in that area, it was more than just the taking off and becoming a holy people. It was about something happened in their heart, right? There came a point where the man of God had to tell, okay, that's enough. You don't need to give anymore. Now, I've never been in a service where that's happened yet, right? I'd love to see that, the kingdom be so blessed, but that actually happened. Amazing with people that didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. It was an Old Testament event. But their hearts had been so moved. So I think giving is tied to the heart. I mean, like I heard people say, he'll take it from a grouch, but he loves a cheerful giver, right? There's something about what God accepts, and we know he doesn't accept. He didn't accept Cain's offering. He accepted Abel's. He didn't accept Ananias and Sapphira's. I think there is a dimension that's connected to the heart. There will be times that as a believer, we will pour it all out. I've done that. I've emptied the bank account. And I have waited. Okay, God.
Yeah.
Is this one of those mailbox stories I hear preachers preach about?
Me too. Yeah. Check the mail all the time. Yeah.
And the reality is I've had that happen. I pastored in Oakland, and I had a lady in the church that was, this is a true story. It's unbelievable. It's a true story. She was, I think, $400 or $500 short of her rent. She worked a job, fixed income, not a lot of upward mobility in her life. Just a single mom struggling. Bay Area, Oakland, rough and tumble, just getting by. She came to me one Wednesday night and said, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened today. She said, on my way to church, I was $400 short. I think it was $400. And she said, I pulled up. She told me the street. I think it was 97th and Herberger or something like that. She said, I looked out the window, and there was a brown paper bag.
No way.
On the street. And something said, pick it up. And she reached down, opened the door, reached down, picked up, and there were four $100 bills in it.
Wow.
And she handed him. She said, Pastor, look what God did. She showed them to me. And there are those very real moments that happen. And I've had moments like that. When I was pastoring in San Diego, we had taken, it was a restart of a church that had completely dissolved, and they were repossessing the building. It was a disaster. And we were short that month, and it was to the point where I couldn't mail it. I was going to have to take it to the bank. You know, that was over in La Jolla. And I was like, God, I was working a job. I was pastoring, and there was only at the time about 8 people in the church, but there had been a church building previously, but all the members had left, and it was a disaster. Wow. And I was paying the note and living in the Sunday school class to make it happen. And we were close. Like, it was rough. And a first-time visitor, never before, never since, don't know how they found the church, never really even got their name other than met them, and they disappeared after church, and I never saw them again. But they put an envelope in with the exact amount that was due the next morning.
Wow.
So there will be times when that comes through, where we're overtaken by the blessing. But, and there's time that I've given saying, God, you know, I need a blessing. I'm going to sow a seed of faith. There is that dimension. But sometimes it can be, for whatever reason, that it may not be the right thing, because we also have scripture that says, consider the ant, oh, you sluggard. You know, he's working. He's storing up for winter, because so that's the balance, is where is am I doing that just out of emotions, or did all my friends give so I want to give, or, you know, where does the keeping the right hand from knowing what the left hand's doing? So there's a dimension that I think when it comes to giving, yeah, you can even give out of the flesh to be seen of men. You know, you can even pray. Like the Pharisees, scribes standing on the side of the road. Oh, I thank thee, God, that I'm not as one. You know, so there's a dimension where any form of worship and ministry can be flesh.
Can you give with a wrong heart, not a cheerful heart, even if you feel to give? Okay, I know God's calling me to give $100, but I really don't want to. I'll do it. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to give it. But like, this is all I have left. Because I wasn't cheerful about it, God's going to, like, take my $100 and be like, all right, like, I'm not.
I don't know.
You ain't getting anything in return.
You know, I think that's probably an individual by individual case, and God is the judge. You know, it's kind of like my father-in-law has a saying, you know, if you're putting out a fire, even a cracked pot can carry some water. It may drip all the way to the fire, but just, if it's got a little bit, let's get it. Just hand me a pot. Let's throw water on it, right? Yeah. So in the kingdom of God, yeah, a cheerful giver is what he loves. And I think there's a dimension of blessing that only the cheerful giver is going to get. But it's giving and receiving. God, you're not going to outgive God.
Yeah.
You know, and at some point, you know, how much of that is our own emotions? How much of that? Hey, God understands all that. I don't think you're in danger of hellfire because you gave, thinking you're going to get a free meal later on. God knows our heart. And if we're like David, if even with all of our mistakes, if we're after him, if we're following after him, even to the point where I've really messed up, God, but I want to get back on track, I think we'll be okay.
to kind of go back into offering and flip it into, we were talking about worship, and you're talking about tithing. Do you think that we should, I know this kind of sounds cheesy, but tithing ourselves every day? So what would be 10% of 24 hours? 2.4? Like, do you think that there should be like a certain number of hours that we should be tithing of ourselves daily?
Okay, so it's a good question. And we're going to be judged with our time, our talent, and our finances, right? Mm. That's what we're going to be judged on. What'd you do? I gave you this. I gave these years. I gave you this amount of money. I gave you these talents. What'd you do with it? So, but think with me. So you work a job from, let's say you work 10 hours today. So that 10 hours is a contract you made with the company. You're a plumber. You work for the plumbing company. When you got hired, you entered into an agreement. I will work for you 40 hours a week, whatever it is, however many hours you agree to, for I think my value is this much. If it's minimum wage, that's how much I think I'm worth or what I bring. And they say, okay, yeah, we think you're worth that. You give us 40 hours. It's an exchange, okay? Yeah. Work is I'm exchanging my time and my talent for your company, okay? So I will give you that 10 hours today or whatever it is. I'll just make that because I'm not good at math. I like tens. And so I'm going to get that amount of money for every hour and the total hours of the week. So let's say I worked 10 hours for 4 days. I've got 40 hours, mm-hmm. Okay? So those 40 hours, I got paid however much per hour. Then as a steward of God's kingdom, I look at that and I say, okay, this is the amount of money I made. This is my income, okay? This is what I profited. Now I'm going to take the first fruits before I do one thing with that, okay? And I take that. Here's the amazing thing. This is what people don't understand. Often they don't understand this, is that the moment I take that money and I put that in the offering plate or the offering basket, and I say, God, here's your tithe, because the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, yeah. And that's what he asked for is the first fruits. You give him the first fruits, he'll bless the 90, okay? If you wait to give the last 10%, there's nothing left to bless. But when I come and bring the first fruits, the moment I put that, I'm now in an exchange with God. I started the week in an exchange with my company. I said, I'll give you these hours for that amount of money. I say, let's do it. When I get to church and I bring my tithe, I look at God and say, here's your tithe. He says, let's do it. Wow. And in that moment, 40 hours, he counts as all his.
Gotcha.
Because I just exchanged my time. And God says, I'm not asking you to give me all 40 hours. Just give me what you produced in those 40 hours. Give me 10% of that. I'll accept that. Tithing is not hard when you understand the revelation of the tithe.
I just got revelation.
Yeah, it's an exchange. So you don't have to go to bed and go, oh, my God, I worked all day. I'm exhausted. I didn't pray 3 hours. I didn't knock doors for 3 hours. I didn't have time to read my Bible today. It was hectic. The moment you walk in with that tithe, God says, I accept that.
Wow.
Your tithe is very spiritual. Don't ever let anybody take the tithe out of your faith, because the tithe is very much connected to the kingdom. And the way we do it is we exchange, because I got paid for my time. That's how I got the money. I gave that company my time. And now 10%, God says, you bring 10% of that? It's the equation, because I took what I earned. That's my livelihood. So the tithe is an opportunity for even that guy swinging a hammer all day. People's cussing. They're pumping rock music everywhere and rap music, and he's working with people that don't even know God. It becomes a sacrifice of worship. The moment that tithe hits, that week's work became a sacrifice of praise. Wow. It's a very spiritual thing.
Do you have any questions?